The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the Pharisees, a lawyer, in an attempt to trip Jesus up, asked him, "Teacher, which commandment of the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, the whole law is based, and the prophets as well." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, pay attention. Okay, I'd like to tell you a story. And from this story, we'll develop our message this morning on the day of these five baptisms. About 450 years ago, there was a mother who came into church. And she came into church with her son, who was about 3 years old. And the moment of communion, the mom got up to receive communion. And the little boy stayed back because he had not made his first communion yet. So when the mother knelt down, the little boy placed his head over the heart of his mother. And the mother said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm listening to Jesus' heartbeat in your heart." 3 years old. That child was very intelligent, but very close to God. He went on to school, and he became a lawyer. But he wasn't happy with that, so he became a priest. And his bishop sent him to a place called Chablais, which is a city in Switzerland, where there was 56,000 Protestants, Calvinists, and there was 56 Catholics. He was a great missionary. After about 4 years, there were 56,000 Catholics and 56 Calvinists. So he converted all of them. When he was about 25 years younger than me, he was consecrated a bishop. Okay? So in his early 30s, so about 36, he was ordained a bishop. That's pretty young. Then he went on to found a congregation. And he's written two of the most famous books in the world. Okay, being an English major, I like books. That's why I studied 4 years. Okay, and two of the most famous books in the world, according to some, the greatest book ever written on love, The Treatise of Love, and another book that all Catholics that want to grow holy should read. It's called Introduction to the Devout Life. When he was about 6 years younger than me, he died. His name is the great, and I say the great, Saint Francis de Sales. Okay? He's one of the greatest saints in the Catholic Church, one of the doctors of the Church. Now, what's the message of that story? You have children in your arms now. You're called to make them saints. Now, I don't say that as a pious platitude or a cliche. No, you're called to help them to become saints. There's a phrase in Spanish, nadie puede darle que no tiene. Y tal pal tal astilla. Dime quien anda te digo quien eres. Some of you speak Spanish, right? Those are all Mexican proverbs, no? Which basically say, you can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. So on this day, which should be the most important day in the life of these children, the day in which they're going to be baptized, all of us are going to make a renewed commitment to love God with the gospel, right? You hear my gospel, right? With all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the gospel. If you would read that gospel every day, I have it memorized already. I've had it memorized for many years, no? We could read that gospel and live it. When you die, I'd be ready to canonize you. Because the essence of perfection is love. The essence of perfection is love. We read that in St. Paul. Okay? and it's love in two senses. You look up at the cross, there is the vertical bar, and then there's a horizontal bar, right? Vertical bar means it goes up. Horizontal means it extends out. The vertical bar is our love for God. The horizontal bar is our love for a neighbor. They have to work together. And if you really love God, then you're going to love your neighbor. Now, once again, we have to define, as Thomas Aquinas says, before you talk about something, you have to define what you're talking about. Now, if I were to say the word love and ask all of you here to write a two-page essay on love for your English composition class, you're going to have 100 different essays, no? One is going to write, okay, well, the Beatles sang, she loves you, yeah, 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 she loves you, yeah. Maybe write an essay on that, right? Others will say, well, I love cotton candy, okay? Or I love grandma, okay? So many different definitions of what love is. But Thomas Aquinas, the greatest theologian in the world, possibly the greatest mind in the world, was Thomas Aquinas. He defines love as, are you listening? Are you paying attention? Okay. Love is willing the good of the other. That's the Thomistic definition. Love is willing the good of the other. What is the greatest good of the other? The salvation of his soul. Amen?
Amen.
That's the greatest good, willing the good of the other, is the salvation of his soul. So if you parents love your children, you're not just going to be, today in the American society, Americans basically prove their love by giving things. Right? If you're in this country, you know that's true. I was born here, okay? So I know the country pretty well, no? It's called materialism. We prove we love our children by giving things. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. You prove your love by giving them God. Amen? Yeah. God, you can't buy God. You prove your love by giving them God. So never forget that. Never forget that. Give me an example. When I celebrated my 25th anniversary, 7 years ago, I was ordained by John Paul II, thanks be to God, right? I had two masses of about 1,000 people, because I know a lot of people. I have a lot of friends. So I had two huge masses. You know the greatest gift that I received? It was a little paper. And I opened it up, and it said, for your 25 years, I offer 25 masses. Love, Mom. Listen, my mom, she has money. My dad worked on Wall Street. She got money. She could have easily written me a check for $1,000 without any problem. She could have. But she realized, my son needs prayers more than money. So I consider that to be one of the greatest gifts. 25 masses. Money, she has it. Nothing wrong with money, no? Teresa of Avila said, with God and money, we can do a lot of things, right? But prayer and helping our children to get to heaven. Like the people come here to the parish. You know, I don't pray that you people have a long life. I don't pray that you people have a lot of success. But I pray every day that you people get to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
That's the only thing that matters. Right, Veronica? It's the only thing that matters. No, you know, possessions, they come and go. It's kind of like the wind, the Santana winds, you know, they come and they go. But the salvation of our soul is essential. Okay, let's expound upon that a little bit more. If you study literature, one of the key elements of literature is called a symbol. Okay, I'll give you a literary definition of a symbol. Symbol is a physical reality that has a spiritual meaning behind it. That's a symbol. For example, if I give you my hand, friendship. If you kiss your wife, love. If you raise the American flag, that's called the virtue of patriotism, okay? Those are physical, they're symbols. Baptism is so rich in symbolism. I should spend 5 hours with you today explaining every symbol, but I'll just explain one. See that candle there? See that candle there? Spanish is called, it's got nombre y apellido. Sirio Pascual. Dos nombres, Sirio Pascual. Se lo presento, Sirio Pascual. El señor Sirio Pascual. Mr. Pascual Candle. You know, that was lighted about 7 years ago. You know when? The Easter Vigil Mass. And when it was lighted, it was about the size of Father Larry and Father Craig. Now it's about my size. In about 2 months, it's going to be like Father and Father Antolini. It starts to shrink. But what it means is, it's symbolic of Jesus who said, I am the light of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Do you have a candle?
Yes.
You don't have to pull it out now. I'm just asking you, do you have a candle? Okay.
Yes.
You're going to be lighting your candle from that candle. Did you know that? And you're going to be going through that window. Whoops. And what's going to happen is, I'm going to be watching you come through that window, and you're going to be walking like this. Why? In case you sneeze? No. Well, hopefully you're not going to sneeze it out, right? But it's very easy for that candle to be extinguished. We can lose God too. That's called mortal sin. This Mass on Sunday, you blew that candle out. You blew it out. Pretty easy to do that. We want to protect that. We want to cup our hand. We want to protect it so it's not extinguished. And you want that fire of love to be burning in the hearts of their children. Now, being brought up on the East Coast, this time of the year, my dad would often have what's called a bonfire. You know why? Because we had 3/4 acre there in New Jersey, and there are a lot of trees and a lot of leaves. And of the 9 kids, you've got 10, we had 9. The first 2 were boys, and we had to rake all those leaves. And my dad would start a fire. Once the fire started to go out, he said, hey, Mike and Ed, come on, hurry up. The fire's going to go. Throw more leaves upon it. That's what you have to do with your children. You got to keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Not that of the Doors, Jim Morrison, come on, baby, light my fire. Not that one, okay? Remember the Doors, 1964? Jim Morrison? Okay. No, it's not that type of fire. That's a sensual fire, no? It's the fire of the Holy Spirit. So how are you going to do it? Are you listening? You got to pray. You got to pray. You know, Veronica, about 4 years ago, I traveled to Florida to visit one of my nephews. And one of my nephews, I'm his godfather. He already has 4 kids. Maybe he'll catch up to you. I hope he does, okay? And his oldest son, his name was Mikey. Mikey the third, because his father is Michael, and my brother is Michael Sr. I went to the house there in Florida, and he was 2. He could already pray the rosary at 2 years old. Any 2 years old here? Not bad, huh? Obviously the kid's pretty smart, right? He's got a good memory. He's got a good uncle, right? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. But at 2 years old, then he turned 3 2 days later, so I'll give him 3. But he could pray the creed. He could pray the Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be. I start out catechism with kids that are 8 or 9, And they don't even know how to make the sign of the cross yet. So children are sponges. You know what a sponge does? You know what a sponge does? Ah, you know, when the sponge comes, bam, it absorbs. So you can put, you can open up a sponge, you can put dirty water in it, you're going to be squeezing out dirty water. You put pure water in, you're going to be wringing out pure water. So children are like sponges. So you got to pray, you got to pray with them, and teach them to pray. So three different ideas around prayer. You got to pray. You got to pray with them, teach them to pray. Next is, where are we going tomorrow? Hello, I didn't hear anyone, no? Las Vegas? Did you say Las Vegas? Okay. Going to go to Mass, right? Tomorrow we're going to go to Mass. And are we going to be caliente bancas? You know what a caliente banca is? Are you going to be a bench warmer? No. All of you have to try to make a good confession and receive communion tomorrow. And offer communion for your children. Amen? And third is, you should every day pray the rosary. Amen? We are in the month of October, which is the month of the
rosary.
What?
Rosary.
It's the month of the rosary. The family that prays together. You've heard that before, right?
Yeah.
Family that prays together stays together. So find 15 minutes to pray the rosary. We can spend our time in many activities. Many people from Los Angeles are going to be watching the Dodgers play against the Brewers, right? Okay? Four hours. That's a long time, 4 hours. Oh, but I don't have enough time to pray the rosary. Come on. It's a question of priorities. So we want to keep that fire burning. You got to pray. You got to receive the sacraments. You got to love the Blessed Mother. Amen? And at the end, we're going to consecrate them to Mary. Okay, one last point. Do any of you know the saint that we celebrate today? You should know the saint that your child's going to be baptized on. Should I tell you or keep you suspended in the air? Should I tell you? St. Paul of the Cross. Okay? So remember, St. Paul of the Cross is the day of the baptism of your children. A great, great Italian saint that lived about 450 years ago. He was one of about 17 kids, so you still got a few more to go, okay? And he founded the Passionist Order, which is dedicated to contemplating the cross. And he basically says all of us have to recognize we have a cross and pray for patience to carry our cross. Amen? I heard a story. There was a popular mission. It was on Good Friday, and the priest gave all the people a little cross. And he said, right now, lift up your cross. In the very back of the church, there was a lot of noise because a woman was lifting up her husband. Hopefully that's not going to be your cross, okay? But whatever your cross is, pray for the grace to carry your cross patiently. Because beyond the cross is the glory of the resurrection. Amen? Okay. I thought you'd like that one, huh? Can lift that guy up? He's pretty heavy, huh?